Jesus, the light of the world, as we celebrate your birth, may we begin to see the world in the light of understanding you give us. As you chose the lowly, the outcasts, and the poor to receive the greatest news the world had ever known, so may we worship you in meekness of heart. Amen. Christmas is often described as a time of peace and goodwill. And yet, the world around us seems anything but peaceful. We constantly hear of war in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, and other places in the Middle East, war in Africa, particularly in Tigray, the drug wars in Mexico, and fighting throughout the world. In addition, we hear of countries divided. We hear of attacks in the apparently more peaceful countries, even though 2021 was actually relatively quiet in relation to terrorist attacks worldwide. But we know that gang violence, for example, has increased in New Zealand. Wars have raged as far back as we can remember, and each Christmas we are confronted with yet another disaster or atrocity. Maybe it is the contrast between our own relatively tranquil celebrations of Christmas and the shocking news beamed to our television sets and internet screens that make us uneasy. Maybe we shouldn't expect peace, even at Christmas. But, of course, this talk of peace and goodwill is not a later addition to make us feel warm and fuzzy about Christmas. It is not something that, in a sense, diminishes our celebration of the incarnation of God. Rather, peace and goodwill is there, right there in the Bible, and it's intrinsically connected to the coming of the Messiah and the incarnation. So it is this aspect of Christmas which I want to explore tonight. It might not be the central message of Christmas, but it is certainly part of the message. In the Old Testament, we read again and again that peace is characteristic of the Messiah. The Prince of Peace will bring about peace. So in the reading from Isaiah, that is also connected with justice and righteousness. And the theme is picked up in the song of the angels to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all of goodwill. This song, the song of the angels, stands like a commentary on what happened that night in Bethlehem. What does the birth of the infant mean? Well, first of all, it means that this birth of a child brings glory to God. God becoming one of us, becoming poor, does mean that God is glorified in a paradoxical way. And then it also, this birth of a child, it brings peace on earth and something about goodwill. Before we move on, I want to briefly examine that part of the song that speaks of goodwill. Now, if you have heard the Christmas story read several times, you may have noticed that the song of the angels is translated in many different ways. Maybe you've heard it as said that peace to men of goodwill, that's what we heard today, or peace to all on whom his favor rests, or goodwill to men, and many other translations. Now, that's not the fault of the translators, but rather because the original Greek text is not entirely clear. So I'll just go briefly into that, and I hope the Greek isn't too boring. I won't mention any Greek words through it. So there are three well-attested versions of the text. And in addition to that, there are several ways to understand them. One version has the word goodwill in the nominative, which means it's a subject, so the main word of the sentence. So the text would then read, peace on earth, goodwill among humans, or goodwill towards humans. It could mean either that the coming of the Messiah would bring about goodwill between humans, or that the goodwill of God towards humans is manifest in the baby that was born in Bethlehem. Most of the other old manuscripts have the word goodwill in the genitive, And that is means as it's a possessive, so to say. It would then read, peace on earth among humans of goodwill, or peace on earth to humans of goodwill. For our ears, that would probably mean that the peace will come to those who are people of goodwill and not to others. But that's not necessarily the Greek use of the genitive. In Greek, it also often has a sense of directions. So it could say, the words humans of goodwill might be better translated, humans towards whom goodwill is directed. Of course, we could read it as just a few humans towards God directs goodwill, but we could, it's probably more likely from the Bible as a whole that God directs his goodwill towards all humans. Of all these versions and translations, I think that based on our Old Testament readings, I would tend towards a translation that praises God's goodwill towards humans, irrespective in which grammatical form it's expressed. That would mean that peace, of which the angel is saying, is linked to the goodwill of God in the Nativity. But then, where is the peace of which the angel is saying? As after all, we see conflict all around us. Many people have said, well, the peace of God is the inner peace we experience when we know the presence of God, or when we know that our sins are forgiven. That is certainly right, and it is important. But it doesn't exhaust the full meaning of the words of the prophets, which clearly point to a peace between people. So As I pondered that, I noticed another passage in the Gospel of Luke where the words of the angel song are used again, but it's in a different context. So pretty much exactly the same words as the angels have sung appear when Jesus processes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And there the crowd shouts, "Blessed is the King coming in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Similar words, but used differently. So peace in heaven. Don't we need peace on earth first of all? What's that peace in heaven all about? I think Luke wanted to convey something here. It's not just the excited shout of the mob. Through their calls, they express something far deeper. It expresses what happened here when Jesus was riding towards his death. For in this event, peace would not just come to earth, but also to heaven. In other words, the crucifixion of Jesus was a cosmic event, something that had significance to the meaning and destiny of the world. Because of Jesus, his birth, death, and resurrection, peace had come into the world, a peace that is not just expressed by the victory of the conqueror over the conquered, but a peace that is far deeper and more lasting. It has to do with humility rather than humiliation. For God humbled himself to become one of us, to reconcile humanity to God, and through that make the whole world whole. In the Gospel of Mark, there is no mention of peace in the chant of Palm Sunday. But there's mention of the coming kingdom of our father David. So the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of God, was coming through this man, Jesus, who would lay down his life for humanity on the cross. The peace between humans and God, this peace which now runs through the world, is however something that actually does bring peace between peoples, if only we open our eyes to the change in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, immediately after the happy chant of the palm-waving people of Jerusalem, Jesus weeps over the city. He says that it does not know the things that make for peace, because the city is caught by blindness. And therefore it will experience actual war and actual destruction. Conflict continues in this world, because this world does not take to heart the message of peace. Peace can happen when people take to heart the message of the Prince of Peace. As an example, I want to tell you a story from about 150 years ago, right here in New Zealand. The Rangitana tribe had lived in the Manawatu regions for centuries. In the middle of the 19th century, the Ngāti Raukawa tribe moved from the Waikato region to the southern Manawatu. And there, this tribe began to occupy land. It took away substantial resources from the local Rangitāne. For some time, they lived relatively peacefully side by side, but conflict began to build in 1868 with competing claims over land. And so the parties resorted to war. The paramount chiefs of both tribes were offended at the actions of the other tribe. The speeches had already been made, the muskets were ready, and it was clear that the battle would begin. And yet, at that point, one Rangitāne chief urged his tribe not to go to war. Te Rangiotu had been a Christian for several years and was a lay reader in the Anglican Church. Over the years, he had already been able to mediate between conflicting parties, but this war between Ngāti Raukawa and Rangitāne was his most difficult challenge yet. With a Bible in his hand, he implored his fellow Rangitāne not to go to war. All the warrior tradition they were used to now had to change because they had the word of God. They were called to peace. How could they go to war with their brothers in Christ to dispute over the land? He thought that was not possible. And so Te Rangiotu worked together with two lay readers from the opposing Ngāti Raukawa tribe to also persuade that tribe to lay down their arms too. And so there was no war, even though the lust for war pulsed through the veins of many warriors. Avoiding a conflict to break out is one thing, making peace is another. Te Rangiotu helped to reconcile the opposing tribes and a new boundary line was drawn, clearly delineating the territories of each tribe. That meant that Rangitāne had to give up some of its claims, but in the name of peace that was done. Te Rangiotu helped develop a new village and there built a marae church he called Te Rangimārie, or the Peace of Heaven. It commemorated the peace between Rangitāne and Ngāti Raukawa. This church still stands today. There are no people from there. So Te Rangiotu became known as the peacemaker, not just for averting conflict in 1868, but for his unceasing work for peace throughout his life and for bringing people together. That's an example how God can work through people. That's how the Christian faith can change us if it is more than some tradition, but rather a living faith that changes us and how we act in the world. Through being part of that faith, through being part of God's family, we can participate in God's work in the world. The world has already been radically changed in Jesus. The battle over evil has already been won. We no longer need to defeat it with arms. In humility, we need to follow the one who is the Prince of Peace, though that may be much more difficult. It is through our own acceptance and seeing of Jesus that peace can also enter the world. So in this way, the peace of Christmas goes way beyond any appeal for cessation of conflict in this world. Because in this way, the cosmic peace which Jesus has won also results in real peace and reconciliation here on earth.
Amen.